Cheers! What's up, everybody? Welcome back to a new episode of Hospitality Secrets Podcast. Paul Sfârlea here, and I'm happy to announce the surprise guest that I'm having today, the surprise guest that I will ask a few questions because I have lots of questions. And by the way, if you have some questions regarding hospitality, don't hesitate to DM me. Maybe we'll ask the experts about deeper things about hospitality industry. I'm super excited about the guest that I'm having today. It's the guest that I'm having, it's a multi-awarded bar lady who is also the bar owner, who is like doing lots of things during these crazy times. Tess Postumus, we are having her today, and I'm happy to have her as a guest in this podcast to talk about hospitality. What I liked most about Tess, even when I met her in 2015, was in South Africa, Cape Town. We were participating in World Class Global Finals, and what impressed me most about her and made me think about her being here as a guest was her way of entertaining and engaging people. From the way she was talking to the way she was laughing, she was smiling. She always knew how to entertain and how to engage. Even the crowd in front of her were made by 2 persons or 5 persons. She knew how to talk in a way that people would listen with pleasure. So that's what I appreciate most, and the main reason why I wanted her to be here and talk about hospitality. So Tess, thank you very much for accepting the invitation. Welcome to Hospitality Secrets.
Thank you. Well, it's a pleasure to be here, so thank you for inviting me.
Big pleasure, always a chat to talk with passionate persons from hospitality industry. So where are you now?
I'm now in Amsterdam, where I live, in the Netherlands. I'm at home because it's still Corona time, so the bar industry just opened up a little bit and we're allowed to do terraces, but only till 6 p.m. and it's 8 p.m. now, so I'm home, the bar is clean.
You're not used to it at this hour.
Now I'm used to it after a year, but it's still not okay.
The industry is changing, yeah. The industry is changing for sure. Things will change, but still, I know that you do a lot of things, and I saw that you are doing a lot of things. What projects are you working during this period?
Oh, we're doing so much. Yeah, it's always difficult to say. So for the ones who don't know me, I'm a bartender from the Netherlands, based in Amsterdam. I own 2 cocktail bars, Dutch Courage and Flying Dutchman Cocktails, both in the city center of Amsterdam. And I own them together with Timo Jansen, a very good bartender himself and a good friend of mine. Besides that, I do a lot of consulting behind the scenes for brands, but also for other hospitality industry, like hotel bars, restaurants, and making menus, signature cocktails, you name it, we do it. I write a lot, so I wrote 2 cocktail books, and I'm busy with writing the 3rd one on Geneva, which is for now a little bit postponed because of Corona. So is that where we put it back on the shelf for a little bit. I have my own line of bar tools, so the cocktail shakers, jiggers, strainers, all those, which is for sale in the Netherlands and a little bit around Europe. I do a lot of workshops and masterclasses and trainings, internationally mainly. And after we met, I started kind of shifting towards the production side of competitions, cocktail competitions that is, and eventually even into the judging side of competitions. So normally I'm also involved with those things. And then COVID happened. So obviously a lot of those things that I just explained stops happening It wasn't, or the budget wasn't there anymore, or the flights were cancelled. So a lot of the guest shifts and all those, everything got stopped.
And so how have you pivoted? How have you pivoted since coronavirus started?
To be honest, it's been super boring and stressful. So on the one side, as a bar owner, I have 2 bars. So we had 12 staff people, and now we only have 5 left. We tried very much in the Netherlands. We had two lockdowns where our bars were closed. The first lockdown, we were able to save everybody. The second, we needed to cut people, which was very difficult. So that's it's a very stressful time as an entrepreneur and a bar owner. But on the other side, as a consultant and bartender, it's been a very boring part because the things I'm doing is mainly emails, Zoom calls. This one is a nice one.
Exactly.
It's a lot of administrative work and a lot of the same things. And also, we do a lot of, I'll tell you in a bit, but we do a lot of web shop things. So we kind of transformed into this delivery service, which is kind of boring, to be honest. So it's a weird year.
I guess
you can understand. Yeah, you started the podcast.
yeah. We had to do something to stay connected. Yeah. We cannot talk and engage with persons anymore the way we were used to.
Exactly.
Wow, sir, you are doing plenty of things. I don't even imagine how do you have time to do all of those things. So, but for the listeners, where they can follow you, where they can find the books, if they want to purchase to read the books, where they can find them, and the bar tours. So where the listeners can follow you, everything you are doing.
Well, you can follow me on social media, on Tess Posthumus, but the web shop, so where we sell all the bar tools and the books and cocktail packages, and we sell a lot. We even sell cocktail scented candles.
Cocktail?
Which I make for scented candles.
Oh, no
one,
way,
one
really?
One scents like a Coco Clapa, which is one of the signatures we have at Dutch Courage. So it's more like coconutty, passion fruit. Like it transforms you and transports you to Bali,
wow,
if you want.
That's
we can't fly anymore at the moment. So we created candles to kind of hopefully transform you somewhere to to a tropical island or to that Scottish wood fireplace, a little bit of escapism since the bars were closed. So I make those candles in my own kitchen, and we
sell
them.
Really? You know to make the candles? Wow,
yes.
That's genius! I'm having like an aha moment now. It's absolutely amazing. You cannot.
And it's actually a lot of fun to do. Yeah, it's because it's kind of like mixology as well. We don't make the scents ourselves. We buy in the essential oils for the scents, but it's kind of like we blend the scents together to represent known cocktails or signature cocktails of ourselves. So it's kind of like you're blending, you're making cocktails with aroma. So it's very interesting.
And you keep the proportions, not to feel one aroma to overwhelm the other. So
exactly.
Sounds amazing. Yeah. Nice. So I'm curious where we can find those.
You can find those on flyingdutchmancocktails.shop, and it's Flying Dutchman with an E, so in a multitude of things, cocktails.shop.
So for the listeners, if you are watching this video on YouTube, just click the button with the description. You'll find the website, you'll find Tess social media to see what she's doing, because she's doing plenty of stuff, and this, it's mind-blowing. I'm still having it with the flavor with cocktails, with the light, the candles. Nice. So for the listeners, you'll have in the description, either you're hear this podcast or you're watching it, just look at the description of this episode, and you'll find those amazing, and I'm sure there are many more. I can't wait to enter to the site to see what you created there.
Yeah, let me know if you missed something. If you think like, I was really wishing that there was this scent because I'm missing this vibe, let me know, and I might be able to make one.
Cool, so nice. I think this is, and even when the industry will reopen, you can play with those scents. I mean, you order the drink and you have the candle also. It's like you can play with it. Very nice.
Yeah.
Wow.
But definitely, we also at Timo and I, we discussed that we're going to continue doing this and also to continue using the candles in the bars when we are allowed to reopen again. So people will know, and when they smell a certain smell, they think of us, hopefully, mm-hmm. and they yeah. miss us and come back again.
yeah, they associate the aroma with the experience and the feelings, yeah. So genius. Wow. So I'll check the Flying Dutchman cocktails shop and see the other things. For the listeners, if you want, go to social media, see what Tess is up to, what she's doing there, how she's active on this environment. But where did everything started? I mean, what's your history in the hospitality industry? When did you start it? What was the journey a bit?
The journey, well, we need to go a bit back. I think, so my journey as, I don't know how it's over there, but in the Netherlands, hospitality industry is not per se looked upon as a great career. It's more something as a side job next to your studies.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yes. So I started that way. I was, I'm officially from the from Breda. It's in the south of the Netherlands, near the Belgian border. And I moved to Amsterdam for my studies. And I always, since I was 16, and the rules were different back in the day, now it's 18, but back in the day, at 16, you were allowed to drink alcohol. So at 16, I started my first job in hospitality.
And in Amsterdam.
good times. So I started my first jobs and I loved every aspect of the hospitality industry. So I worked in catering, in events, in restaurants, we call them eetcafés, which is kind of like a cafe where it's also a restaurant. So it's a nice atmosphere, but it also serves food. It's different than a bar. And I did all of that. I loved all of it. Still, I sometimes miss just running around on a terrace with like a tray full of beers and a handheld in the other hand, and just trying to make the kitchen boys crazy with your with your fast orders. So like every aspect of the hospitality industry, I always really loved. But I was still a student, so I was studying and trying to study for a real job.
Yeah.
If you're only listening, I'm doing the bunny ears. But I was always working in hospitality, and eventually in 2009, I started working at Door 74, which was an amazing bar. It was the first Western Europe speakeasy concept bar in those times, so it was the first one to really go into the craft cocktail scene again, looking at the history books, reading up on things. Using fresh ingredients, good ingredients, not only Bacardi rum, which was by that time the kind of the only rum people would know,
like the vodka, like
universal. Exactly, pills. No, so it was a very, very good bar, and me as a Dutch person, I didn't really know, because we didn't really have a cocktail culture back in those times in the Netherlands. But Door 74 was always in the world's 50 best bars, so it was an amazing bar, and the best bartenders worked there. But also, people from the industry who weren't bartenders but just working in the industry globally, they always would visit Door 74 because it was the place to be. So via through a friend, I ended up working there as a host and as a waitress, because I didn't have any cocktail skills yet. I didn't even know what actual cocktail was. Like, I knew how to make a mojito from like the catering jobs, but that was kind of it. I didn't even know what was the actual proportions. I knew mint and crushed ice.
Poop, 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 till the glass is full.
Exactly, and just smile and wave.
yeah, and you get with it, yeah.
Exactly. So that was 2009, and I started working there, and that's where I met Timo Jansen, my now business partner. He was the manager, and Sergei Fokke was the owner, together with Philip Duff. A lot of great bartenders worked there, so I saw how big the world of of cocktails was, and that it wasn't just a gimmick for a party or an event, but that there was like a history to it, just like with cooking. There's history and evolution of recipes, and there's so much depth and so much knowledge to gain. And I understood then that I didn't know shit. So I needed to step up my game. So Timo and the boys, they trained me. They were so nice to do so. And I think after a year or so, I was allowed to work behind the bar. It was a two-station bar. To work behind the bar next to a really talented bartender on like the slow nights, like the Monday and Tuesdays. And then eventually, I think after a year or two, I was sometimes, when I was lucky, able to take on a Saturday shift. And eventually one of the good bartenders left, and he gave me his Saturday shift. So that was when I really properly became one of the main bartenders. But it took a while. I needed to really learn and step up my game and go through the hierarchy of learning things. That was where it began. Yeah.
And pay the price. Like, invest the energy, put the effort, learn, do the things, do all the moves.
And ask the questions also. Don't be shy, acknowledging that you don't know things. I keep telling this also to my staff always. I'd rather have you ask me than to just bluff something that's not true, and then a guest walks off thinking something that's not true. Rather ask a colleague or ask me, or ask me three times, than just tell a lie or just bluff your way through it. Nobody learns from those things.
Yeah, there was a saying, and I was always guided by this, because I'm very curious, and I'm going after the principle that it's better to look stupid but to be smart, instead of being smart, looking smart but you are stupid because you don't put the questions, you are just shutting up and you look smart. So
I think there's only one way to learn.
Yeah. And I like that Sean Finter was saying that if you don't have all the answers, you should better have all the questions.
Right. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I love that one. Yeah,
I'm a big fan of questions, and since this podcast, I started learning about questions and putting even more questions. I always had tons of questions of asking, why, what's happening, what this, if this, how this.
Yeah.
Talking about questions, were there a moment when you felt in love with this industry, or it was gradually? When did you felt it?
It was gradually, because I think looking back, I know that there was always a love for the industry, but only looking back. Back then, I didn't know. I just saw it as a side job, and I was meant to study for a real job. But looking back, like I know, and I knew that it working in the hospitality industry made me happy, and studying didn't. But I didn't know back then. But the real trigger came at Dorsney 4, because it was one of the world's 50 best bars. So because it was such a good bar, and like all the bartenders did all the competitions, I was expected to also join the competitions. So I did, and obviously I lost a lot of them, until one day I started winning some of them. And then like the ball kept rolling, and I got international questions to do guest shifts, or to help out with the menu, or to do a training. So I needed to register myself as a freelance bartender, because I needed to be able to invoice. So eventually, gradually,
slowly,
next to my studies, still, it became more of a focus point instead of a side job. And eventually I finished my studies, but by then I knew, like, okay, nice, I have my diploma now, but I'm gonna stay and try to see where I go if I move into the hospitality industry direction.
And do what you like.
Yeah, it scared me though, in the beginning.
Because everybody's seeing as when will you get a real job? Same situation I had. It was similar with me, with my parents. When will you find a real job? But this is a real job. Yeah. When did you decide to open your own place, and when you did it?
Well, so my first place I opened a little over 3 years ago, December 2017. That was Flying Dutchman Cocktails. And in August last year, I opened Dutch Courage. which wasn't perfect because of Corona, but we already signed in December before we knew that there was going to be a bat to be eaten.
Yeah.
So 3.5 years ago, about we opened Flying Dutchman, and that didn't came, for a lot of people, it just came out of nowhere, like, oh, Timo and Tess are leaving Russian 4 and they're opening a bar. But for us, it was always a gay man. So I'm obviously a lady bartender. I'm a woman, and I do have a wish to have children one day. Thankfully now my partner is pregnant, so this summer we're going to have.
Congratulations! Really?
Thank you.
We should celebrate.
I know, we will. When we see each other again, we will. So this summer I'm becoming a mom, but back then I didn't know if it was going to be me or my partner doing it, but I know that if you're a bartender and if you consult and if you do tastings and all those, like, there is going to be a moment, 9 months or sometimes even longer if you're going to breastfeed, where you can't do your job properly. So for me as a woman, I've always thought about, okay, very nice that I'm now a successful bartender, but what if in a couple of years I want to have a family? That's going to mean at least one for one baby. If it's going to be two babies, it's going to mean 2 years of stepping back. And am I capable of doing that if I'm only freelancing and doing cool jobs and projects and guest bartending all over the world?
From time to time, yeah, which is not sustainable. Yeah.
No, and so very briefly, I already started thinking, like, okay, a lot of women leave our industry behind the bar to go to the dark side and work for brands, mainly because of one of these reasons. So very early on, I already had a game plan of I want to open a bar, so hopefully it will stand and be stable by the time that I'm ready to start a family, and then I can take a step back and do administrative work, which I hate, but it's
you'll but find a good mix between administrating and going there just to keep the vibe.
Exactly. to training and managing and there's so much more. So it was already always a game plan, but obviously it did have, like, it was very lucky that Timo and I saw eye to eye on the concept and how we feel about hospitality, what kind of vibe we want to put into the place and how we see things. So 3.5 years ago, we really put it into action when we found a property, which is very difficult in Amsterdam because there's no new bar permits. So you need to buy into a permit, which is super expensive and a lot of mafia things happening. So it's difficult. We were looking for a while and then finally we found something. So then it kind of really quickly was able to evolve because we were ready before and then we found a property and then we were able to move fast.
Yeah. So it was good timing and the circumstances, the context
exactly.
was okay. Whoa, that's a journey. Like, briefly explained, I think we can stay days to talk about things that you achieved and you did.
Oh, we can definitely.
But how would you put all this history in the hospitality industry in just one sentence? How would you distill all the journey that you had in this industry in one sentence or a few words?
In one word, adventure, I think, but in a sentence, an excited journey full of life lessons.
Ooh, I like it.
Yeah, because you're pushed to think about yourself and where do you want to go in a career-wise, but also if you move from being a bartender and working for a boss to consulting, which was kind of my gateway to opening my own bar because I helped other bars opening, so I kind of...
You had the knowledge, yeah.
Exactly, without putting my actual money in, I was able to learn from their openings.
yeah, which is valuable information. If not, you would have to pay for those mistakes.
Exactly. I think, like, if you're listening today or if you're watching and you're thinking of, hey, one day I might want to open my own place, start consulting, start working for places that are opening new. Restaurants, bars, cafes, clubs, doesn't really matter, but just be involved because then you'll learn how to do the sponsor deals, how to manage staff, like all the little things, also rebuilding, like everything, you get to learn from their mistakes. So do it first on somebody else's paycheck.
Nice. Yeah. It's much cheaper.
A lot less frustrating as well.
Yeah. So, exciting journey full of life lessons. This will be actually the title of the episode. Your life in one sentence. So you did a lot of exciting things and you learned a lot of lessons, but I would like to do like a small exercise imagination. Let's imagine that you suddenly lose everything you have, from name, you lose your reputation, you lose your bars, your consulting, your job, contracts, you lose everything and you have to start again from zero in this industry. The only thing that you have left, it's your know-how. Nobody can take your know-how. So what would you do to get back up?
First, I would take a holiday. After this whole corona situation, I'm ready for a holiday. If nobody knows who I am, I'm going on holiday. No, but like to be real, to be honest, I think I'll just really try to work from scratch. Like I still, you tell me I still have my know-how. So I know how to set up a bar and how to think about a concept and to how to translate that into training staff and all that, because that's my know-how. So I'll try and do it again, and then hopefully that will be good enough that my name will be built and my the bar name will be a quality stamp or something. And I think just put in the effort again. Yeah,
doing the work all
it will
over
be frustrating
again.
Though, because well, to I think, and it's already kind of frustrating now, I think, because I don't know how it's over there with you guys, but here a lot of people from the industry on the brand side of things, they got laid off because of budget cuts. So the last couple of years, I've invested a lot of time and energy in relationships, in network. And a lot of people, I think 70% or so, they're gone.
Yeah.
So it's already after this, it's and also staff. I had 12, now I'm at 5. So if we're reopening, I need to train again, I need to contact and network again. So it's already kind of a lot of from the start. Yeah. How is that with you guys?
It's similar here, yeah, similar things are, and more what's happening, but I think this is a global thing that's happening. People from the hospitality industry, waiters, bartenders, are taking like more stable jobs, like in the office, learning IT, and they do this job now, and they don't want to come back in the hospitality industry, maybe because this is risky first time, maybe then they didn't like it anymore, they really wanted a real job for them, and they don't want to come back in the industry, so still there is no staff with the brands. They laid off a lot of people, so it's kind of taking from zero point something. So but yeah, we still need to reinvent to see how we, and actually I had a question, I'm very curious, an extra question that I wanted to ask. How do you see that this industry will be after the pandemic? How would you see that it will change?
Honestly, I don't think it will change, to be honest. A lot of people expect all these big changes, and in the Netherlands they're talking like, okay, the moment everything is open again, everybody's vaccinated, then there's gonna be like a roaring 20s. But to be honest, I think like people still have jobs, and it's I think we already have so much more freedom than if you compare it to a prohibition, because yes, there was a lockdown and there was temporarily no place to go out, but they were still able to drink at home or order or so there was not like, definitely they missed social interactions, and yes, they'll probably party for a week, but I'm not expecting a 2-year period of like just going mental. It's like there's gonna be good parties the moment we can reopen, but it's just gonna be, I think, a couple of really good parties. It's not gonna be a couple of years of good parties. So that's one. And also, and there was already, at least in our country, there was already a start of the trends coming from the restaurant trends of going local. So local ingredients, lifting on the whole environment thing. And I think that kind of got a bit more because of Corona. People want to support local, but also they want to know where things and ingredients come from. So I think that will continue, but I think that was already kind of happening, and it just maybe got a bit quicker there than what it otherwise would have been. But I don't see a big change. Yeah, because people say a lot of the times, yeah, people will stop flying, people, they will be more, more mindful of the environment. And I'm like, no, because if I talk to people around me, the first thing we're doing is where I'm going on holidays. Like, I want to go to London, I want to visit you, Paul, I want to go to Bali, I want to visit my friends in LA and New York. Like, I'm flying all over the place.
I missed the whole year without traveling, so I have to.
Exactly, and obviously a couple of had big businesses that would fly normally in and out for a meeting, and they moved to Zoom. But I think in our business, which is the question, like what's going to change for our business is about social interaction and people connection. And I think after a year of Zoom calls, that we can kind of agree that yes, we can talk via Zoom and we can do a lot of via Zoom, but a social interaction, nothing will beat getting drunk together at a bar.
No way. No, you cannot drink through Zoom. We tried. We tried different ways of doing Zoom.
Together in the same place with the same aroma in the bar, the same dim lights, the same music and atmosphere, and the same like leveling on the drinking tempo.
Yeah,
like,
there's that's so the much experience. More. Yeah. That's the full hospitality experience that we
exactly.
share. It's more than just words that we are sharing.
Yeah.
Nice. Good. Very nice. Put it some light on the industry, on the hospitality industry. And now we go to the main question. I like to call it the core question of this podcast because it's hospitality secrets. I'm passionate about hospitality. I studied hospitality a lot, and I want to talk with more and more people about this concept, because I strongly believe that in order to succeed in when we go back to, let's say, normal or close to normal that will be after, I think we should show a bit much more hospitality to our guests, to care more, to show them like real, honest, genuine hospitality in order to bring them together, to bring them back to us. So the main question of this podcast actually is, what is for you, Tess, what is hospitality?
It's a great question. For me, hospitality is everything. It's warmth. If we're talking about cocktail bars sometimes forget hospitality and just focus on the drinks and geeking out on bottle X or limited edition that or this weird infusion or clarification I did. And that was already before Corona that it annoyed me a bit. That's why I started Flying Dutchman Cocktails, my bar, focusing on classic and existing recipes. Because I think the focus for a good bar, a bar that will still be there in 20 years, is hospitality. And it's creating an atmosphere where people can find connections, but also find rest at the same time, if you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's about a bit of escapism. At the moment you step across the head of the border from the door and you close the bar door, or you should leave all your daily struggles behind, and not to escape in alcohol, but to escape in the daily worries and the little things about work and life and all those bits.
Disconnect from the matrix.
Exactly. And if you wanna go, what I'm trying to do also with the candles, if you wanna go to a tropical island, you can order a tiki drink. But if you wanna just feel super Porsche and James Bond, you order a martini. Like it's the drink and the aroma and the atmosphere. And if you're there in a group, or if you're there on your own at the bar, you'll meet the bartenders, but also other people that are looking for a chat. And you know, it's. Hospitality for me is the warmth of welcoming everybody to making them leave the bar again just a little bit more happy than they were coming in. And if that's and everything is, for me, hospitality is customizing the experience, because somebody needs to be entertained, somebody or some people need to be left alone with their group and having quality time together. Some of them you want to kind of like secretly, smoothly connect together. If there's a couple of travelers on their own at the bar and you want to connect them, and you as the bartender, you're going to make the conversation smoothly in the beginning, and then you let them be. And so it's I think hospitality is reading the room, reading the person, and pleasing what they want. Besides all the drinks are just an extra. It's like, more about the feel, the vibe.
Drinks are the props to make them to live a bit happier.
Yeah, like the drinks need to be good. Like shit drinks is shit hospitality as well. But like the drinks need to be good. The table needs to be clean, not sticky. Like
the services should be prompt. Yeah, the services should be professional.
The basis should be good, and then hospitality is the extra layer on top of that, I think.
The cherry on the cake.
Exactly.
And that's why I want to talk about hospitality. There is no definition which fits everything, because you can search on dictionaries which gives like a very general, but there is no size, one size fits all. Hospitality is, as you said, you customize the experience, you give him what he needs in that in that moment.
Yeah, and it can be that for me hospitality on a Tuesday it can be very different than on a Saturday, where the music might be a bit more up tempo and a bit more loud, or not. Sometimes a Tuesday ends up being a kind of like a Saturday vibe. But to be able to read the room and to read what people are kind of like needing, and when you need to up the volume, for me that's hospitality.
Wow, connecting the dots and making those small small things that makes the experience. One extra question here. Let's imagine that I'm about to come. You accepted me to come to work for you. I have no experience in hospitality industry. It's my first time. It's my part-time job while I'm studying. I have no idea about what hospitality industry is. How would you explain me what hospitality is and how to show it to my guests?
It is, you can see, I think, in the eyes of people, if they're genuine, that's one. But besides that, that's then I imagine I already hired you, so you already got approved. For me, then it's in the little things, like, are you aware that there's an empty glass of water, water we serve for free, just to refill the water, or also important to feel if, like, okay, the water is empty, but I see that the two people over there at the table with the empty glasses, they're in a super a conversation that's kind of like an emotional conversation. I'll let them be for a bit because the water isn't that important at the moment. Or I'll just softly put a carafe of water on the table so they can refill themselves if they need to, besides me breaking into their conversation. So hospitality is, it's in the little things. And I think you can very quickly see if anybody without any training in hospitality or in bartending, whatever, I think you can quickly tell if somebody's fit for the job on a hospitality kind of level. I don't think you can train it.
The hospitality, the this like genuinely caring about people.
Are you a giver or like are you a pleaser?
nice. So now we're talking about hiring. So we need to hire those people who have the fire. Like even the fire is small.
It's difficult because I've made mistakes in the past. I thought I would always be able to tell, but I made big mistakes in the past. And because people, like nowadays, they know kind of what you want, so they'll act like they care, and they then end up not caring. So I don't have the hack for you yet. But if you have it, or if somebody listening today has the trick to separate the weeds from the leftovers. If you have the trick, please let me know.
Yeah, the trick. I tried at some point at the bar with a group interview, like 2 weeks. We had like five persons and we were supposed to end up with three or something. and read between the lines, because actually this is in an interview, if you are honest, if you ask somebody which is your biggest your worst thing, and he's saying that I'm a perfectionist. Everybody's yeah. performing at the interview.
No, exactly. Okay, so a couple of like tricks, and again, because in an interview a lot of people are sometimes nervous, so it doesn't say like yes or no. But for instance, if we have an interview, I'll make sure that my glass is empty, my water glass, and the one next, like the person next to me as well. And I will hand this person a new glass, and I'll make sure that there's a filled water jug on the table. And for me, it says something if he only fills himself, or if he starts filling us and then himself. Or if I ask, like, do you know how to make coffee? And we're in the bar, for instance. In our bar, if I do an interview in the bar, and I was like, do you know how to make like a cappuccino or an espresso? And he's like, yeah. I said, can you make an espresso for yourself or something? And then if he responds, or she obviously responds with like, would you like one as well? It's little things. But again, it's not always true, because some people are nervous and they're like, no, because I don't want to ask, because otherwise she would tell me. Like, some people overthink those things. So it's not a yes or a no.
It's still hard. We need to find the recipe. So
exactly. How give can me you, the hack.
The hack. How can you hire Sean Finter was saying about offering genuine hospitality. He said that you should hire well-parented persons. And well-raised people who are pushing the chair back at the table, and those persons who are saying thank you, welcome, hello, how are you, those small things. Yeah, I think this is the hospitality. It's about, if you are a giver, as you said. Yeah.
No, exactly. Like, for me, it's never like, obviously I have a look at your resume, but it's never about which course did you do, or how many classic recipes you know by heart, or which competition you won. For me, it's more like I look at your resume, because I honestly would rather have you have experience in restaurant business, or in big events, like that you know how to work, and to understand also if you know how to work on high volume, for events, for instance, or like a busy bar or a busy restaurant, and not high end restaurant or bar, but like more like high volume. Then I know that there's bound to be sometimes that things went wrong, and that you would be able or needed to talk your way out of it, to charm your way out of it. And for me, that those little things, that's important. It, like, I'll teach you how to make those classic cocktails and how to fine strain.
There's not yet rocket science.
The cocktail things, like, we got that. Like, we can train you on it, but. Do you know how to work people?
What isn't hospitality? We talked about what is hospitality, but what's at the other pole of hospitality?
The rock star bartender. So the bartender who is bartending because he wants to be on a stage, and I think it's a person who doesn't really care about the industry. If he was a DJ, it would also be fine, as long as it's him or her behind the bar getting all the attention.
And the startender.
The startender. And obviously, some people say like, I'm a startender because I do guest shifts and stuff. Like that's so. But it's more like, what's your genuine interest? Is it you getting attention, or is it you pleasing people and that makes you happy as well?
Why? And the difference is slightly. I mean, it's not, you cannot perceive it. Even when you do guest shift and when you are the star of the night, you could act with the big ego as the big rock star, or you can be there to serve and to show hospitality and to make them happy. Yeah.
To be honest, obviously, like, it's nice to get the attention, so don't get me wrong.
The bartender
also still enjoy the attention, but a bartender who's only there for the attention and the paycheck, that's the opposite of hospitality.
And you don't care about the person in front of you, you just care about your pocket and your
or the image. Tips they leave you, and you charm them because of tips, but not because you want them to come back.
So that's not hospitality.
No.
good. Which is the most memorable hospitality experience that you ever felt, but as a guest, not that you were provided? Which is the most memorable experience in the hospitality industry that you it pops to mind?
I have to say Shanghai. I was there twice for work, and I was a little bit afraid, to be honest, because it's China. Like, I didn't know what to expect. I don't speak Chinese, and I also can't read the so normally when I'm in a country I can't speak the language, I can still like type it in Google and like do Google Translate if needed. But with China, like, the characters, like, you can't type them in your iPhone. So I was a little bit like, okay, I'm going to Shanghai. I didn't know what to expect. And but then when I arrived there, the bartenders were so friendly, and they took me around Shanghai and to all these amazing restaurants. And it's they made me feel very welcome. And I can't really, because a lot of the guest chefs, you probably experience yourself, like, a lot of the bartenders are very welcoming and showing you their city. And but this was a different kind of hospitality. I can't really explain, but it was just, it's the first thing that pops in my mind if you say hospitality, when, where, it's Shanghai, yeah.
So Shanghai is...
But there's a lot of others, like, for instance,
yeah, as you travel, you see a lot, but I'm curious which pops first and why is that so?
Eric Lorenz is also up there, high up there. He's, whenever I'm in London, he's always interested and friendly and welcoming, and always takes the extra charge to make your night good if you're at his place, but also if you're not even visiting him, to tell you where to go, where it's gonna be nice.
Nice, so
there's a lot of amazing who are super hospitable. Yeah. Difficult to pick one.
It is. That's why the question is kind of a bit harder. But can you hear me? That's super.
Can you hear me?
Back in business. Yeah. Back in business. So there are lots of memorable hospitality experiences. We just needs to think a bit about them and to stage them. In order to stage memorable hospitality experiences for our guests, do you have some strategies? Which are your top 3 or 5 strategies for being an absolutely amazing host, for engaging people the way you are doing?
Yeah, I think to be genuine. So people, I think, especially if you're hosting other bartenders, we tend to have this thing that we're good with people. So we also feel that if something is fake, if there's a brand ambassador who is just paid to show you around town, you feel that it's like, yeah, it might be fun, but it's still like, yeah, it's also a job for him. But if, like, so
and he's
be genuine,
looking at the clock
and if you don't
be home.
Yeah, and only orders his brand all the time. No, like, so it's something genuine. And also, like, if you don't feel like it, or if you don't have the time, just be honest about it. Like, oh, I'm so sorry, I would have loved to host you in my city, but next time give me a heads up a little bit earlier, or I only have time for one drink, and then I'll, but then make the effort of sending them a list of things where they will be taken care of. And so it's about the aftercare as well. It's not per se about you physically being there to show them your city. If you can't because of other things, work or other appointments, be honest about it upfront, so people know what to expect, and also help them out, maybe linking them to somebody else or giving them a nice list of how to entertain.
So care, genuinely care.
Genuine care. Yes, genuine care.
Yeah, really care about people. Yeah, it's about people for people in this amazing industry. That's nice. That's nice. What's the one thing you would really want to know when you began your career? When you were at the beginning, if there is one thing that you would like now for you to learn back then?
To be less focused on pleasing others in a business way. So for instance, we met at World Class, and I, like, back in the day, like, Diageo was still very much male in three-piece suits. So, and you would dress up because otherwise you would think like, oh, maybe the judges won't like me because I'm not super, super neat. So those kind of things, I think I would tell myself to not worry about too much, to focus more on those parts, and to maybe dress a little bit more how you're comfortable yourself. And by being comfortable yourself, being more comfortable of pleasing others, instead of focusing on, oh, I think they want me to do this, so I'll probably do this because I think they want me to do this.
And not because it's me feeling that.
Exactly. Be a bit more true to you as well. Yeah.
Hmm. Nice. That's an amazing advice, because I think we all been there, because when you start the industry, you don't have so much confidence in yourself. You don't think that you don't validate your knowledge, your personality, and you tend to copy. I remember at the beginning, I was tending to copy to see what people would appreciate, and me starting to fill that gap, which is not
It's not you.
Yeah.
I always say to bartenders who are competing and who I need to judge and who are asking before and like, okay, so do you have any advice or tips? I always say like, just show me you. Eh? I don't need to see another example of a cocktail that won 3 years ago, because that won 3 years ago. I want to see you and your interpretation of the concept or the flavor or whatever. So show me you, and obviously work clean and be hygienic and all, and be friendly and hospitable. But show me the real you, because yeah, that's what makes you unique.
Exactly.
And I wish. Yeah. Yeah, and I wish somebody would have told me that before I started this journey.
Yeah, it took a few years to understand this. Just be yourself, because it's what makes you unique, as you said. Yeah, it's the only thing that makes you different from all the other persons around the world. It's you being you.
Exactly.
Nice. Very good advice. And for the listeners, I hope it helps. What now? We are at Hospitality Secrets, and I like secrets. And the question is about secrets, and the question is about what is actually your secret sauce for being successful in the hospitality industry?
I think we already kind of said it. Just focus
somehow,
on hospitality. Yeah, focus on giving, and generally caring about giving, because if you genuinely care, it will make you happy as well. It will give you energy. So don't do things that you think that people want you to do, because in the end, you won't be able to continue that. It will just drain you and leave you energyless. Focus on what you like to do, that gives you energy, and that also will transform that positive energy to your guests or to whatever you're doing. If you want to leave the bartender scene and want to work for a brand at the dark side, if that makes you happy, do so. But then be the best brand ambassador and make my life happy as a bartender working with you as a brand ambassador.
Nice. Okay, so hospitality industry, it's about engaging people, and you are very good at engaging people and talking and engage, entertain, captivate the people. How can we actually engage our guests?
To listen. Don't just sense.
Yes.
We bartenders are told a lot of the times that bartending is storytelling, and that's partly true. But sometimes a guest doesn't want to listen to a story. They're just there for a good time and they don't want to be educated. So listen, and also pick up the little hints they're giving off. If they want to know more about this weird mezcal you brought from Mexico, do. But if they're not, stop talking.
So listen, yeah.
Listen.
This is so nice, because I think we all been there when we had some knowledge. We were regurgitating our knowledge on all the guests that we were having.
Yeah, you want to show off a bit, right?
Yeah.
And practice.
Yeah. So yeah. Listen before you just and give people what they need. And it is storytelling. Yeah, it's right. But after you listen and you tell the right stories at the right moment.
Sometimes a story can be long. Sometimes it's two sentences. Sometimes it's one word. And that's about reading your guests and also listening to your guests.
Try to understand.
Yes.
If you have a magic stick, have you ever had a magic stick? If you would have a magic stick, yeah, that one, and you could do whatever magic you would like, what is the one thing that you would change to the hospitality industry to make it a better place?
Well, two answers to that question. Answer one is right now. Two magic tricks. One right now is to have like this, to have the entire world vaccinated so we can go back to our doing what we love to do and our profession. And long run magic stick trick, to make it more equal so that everybody feels that they. Sometimes I'm a woman working in this industry, and sometimes I've had struggles, sometimes not. And sometimes I talk to other women and they felt struggles at times I might not have felt it, or the other way around. Uh-huh. So sometimes it's not even that we don't acknowledge a struggle, but let's try and be more aware of what might be a struggle for somebody else and try to remove those struggles. So make our industry more equal. If we're talking male, female, but also ethnicity or gender, like sex, everything.
Experience, yeah,
age.
Exactly, yeah.
But all over, like I've never worked with somebody who has a bad hearing, for instance. There's so many people, like, so where are they? They don't feel welcome in our community. So let's, if I had a magic stick, I would try and make it more equal.
Nice. So let's find that magic stick. Maybe with the pen is working, and or with the listeners, we can start slowly making the hospitality industry a better place. So we are almost at 1 hour. Time flew away. I would like to stay the whole night to talk about hospitality and talk about experiences, but unfortunately we need to stay in time. And I have just one more question, like in wrap up. What would be the number one takeaway that you really want the listeners to remind from this episode?
The one takeaway I would love to give you guys is... be true to yourself, do what makes you happy while trying to make other people happy.
Fireworks. Woo,
I did not prepare that one, it just came out.
it was genuine. You don't even need to think it through the mental, it just came. Poof, pure gold. That's amazing, it was amazing pleasure. Thank you very much for accepting the invitation.
Of course, thank you. And I hope next time we can do this next to each other at a certain bar.
Let's hope that it will be soon and we can vaccinate, people get vaccinated, and slowly we can start taking back our socializing.
Yes,
please. It was amazing. Thank you very much. This was absolutely great.
Thank you.
And for
time.
The listeners, thank you for enjoying our chat as much as we did. We had a lot of fun talking about hospitality, talking about secrets about hospitality. It was an amazing pleasure, and I hope it was useful, helpful. You can listen to this podcast on platforms of Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, Spotify. There are a lot of podcast platforms you can listen. You can follow them on YouTube. If you have some questions, some curiosities, you can message me to find out more things about hospitality. So I hope it was useful. That's it for today. Paul Sfârlea here. See you next week. Cheers.